It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we take a look at the stories that the Lakeville Journal is following and stories that they have been following. And, of course, some things coming up, the editorial pages and the like. Also, we have a pretty big compass, it looks like, this week, and also a real big real estate section, which we'll get to. And we have an old-time alumnus of our radio station here, Alexander Wilburn, is in for Cynthia. Hi, Alexander.
Hello. I don't have Anne. I don't have Cynthia, but I do have a cat in here with me.
We'll get the cat out.
Well, you know.
And Anne is just coming in, so don't worry about that. We do have Janet though right there. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
How are you?
I am fine. How is everybody?
We are absolutely fine. And
totally not confused anyone.
I know. You know, we're rolling into the end of the year. It's a busy time. You know.
Plus, Andrew got me really thrown. Marshall said, "Didn't you see Andrew come in?" I was totally thrown. So. We've got Alexander, and we've got Marshall Miles and Janet Manco. The show will go on.
The show will be great because the papers are full.
That's
full
right.
Of stuff to think about for 2 weeks. Because remember, everybody, we don't publish next week. We have a shutdown week between, at the very end of the year. So this issue is a double issue for December 20th and December 27th.
All right, and we will mention a lot of color on the front page, the masthead. And I have to laugh because I'm looking at the masthead, Janet, and, of course, the Lakeville Journal has a wreath on the O. And I don't know if you knew what happened in New York City over the past week, but at the Lincoln Tunnel, they decided to put wreaths up. And they put the wreaths in the wrong place, and motorists.
Well, I think that is up for debate. However, is
I know.
It not?
It is.
Truly, whoever put them up thought they were in the right place.
They spaced them equally.
Yeah.
But the O's were in the wrong place, and so many motorists complained. That they decided to put the wreaths back where the public wanted them. So.
You know, and why not? If you drove that route every day and you're stuck in traffic right there looking at it.
You just do it. Make it go away.
That's right. Please, please. This?
But the
everything
I,
else in this?
The minute I saw the masthead, it just drew my mind back to that. Okay, nice, beautiful.
But we have the O in the right place.
Yes, you do. A nice, beautiful spread at the very top. Music for the season with lots of colors.
Yes. The music for the season is the Sweetheart Singing Group from Housatonic Valley Regional High School and student performers in Kent and throughout the pages. You'll see there are more photos of student concerts and performances. It's a wonderful time of the year.
All right. Well, we'll start off with the story that broke this week, and that is the Five Points Gallery buying the UConn campus in Torrington with the full approval of the it meets all the requirements for the campus to move on like that.
Right. Alexander, did you want to talk about this? Or I'm happy.
Sure. This actually just... We broke this kind of as we were going to deadline, which was really exciting. So Five Points Center for the Visual Arts has purchased the Torrington campus of UConn, and over the next 5 years, we'll be developing it into a sort of state-of-the-art art center that's going to be attracting big talent, they hope.
And what people were worried about, I think, when that story first broke in the middle of the week, was the fact that one of the charges when that campus was first donated to UConn, it had to be for educational purposes. And the Five Points Gallery meets that requirement.
Yes.
Which some people were worried that it wouldn't, but it meets that requirement, which is also a great thing. So it hopefully will be developed into, once again, a real big arts center for our area.
Well, it's really exciting. You know, when you look at different areas all over our region, those that have great cultural attractions really do tend to thrive, and this could be a great thing for Torrington and Five Points.
All right. Now, Patrick Sullivan has a story right in the middle of the page. The academic team from Housatonic Valley Regional High School is topping the state and the region. Who wants to take that one?
Well, I'm happy to. You know, this is, for everything we talk about with Region 1 and the high school and, you know, approaches to education that are up for debate, this is really great that their academic team has done so incredibly well, top in the state and the region. And, you know, read this, read who the members of the team are. Kudos to all of them and to their teacher, Peter Vermillier, who's been at Hoosie a long time and is just great with these students. And it's an exciting thing.
All right, a couple of stories by Shaw. We'll start off with the one on the, which is just on the right-hand side. Reese, honor those who served our country.
Yeah, Alexander, did you want to?
I'd love to talk about the left one, if you want to take the right one.
Okay. This is a wonderful thing, the wreaths across the country. And if anybody keeps track of this on Facebook or any other social media, you'll have seen any of the veterans or active members of veterans groups that you know have posted about this. And so this was the Winstead group. Certainly the group in Millerton was also active in Canaan, and it's a tribute to veterans. So do read this and learn more about it.
Now, which story?
Which is Camping for a Cause, okay. Where Northwest YMCA raised funds for the homeless population. And 50 people turned out. But the good news about homelessness in Connecticut is actually, relative to other states, it has been declining in recent years, but is by no means an eradicated problem. And I would say, if you were looking for a local cause to donate to this holiday season, they would certainly be a worthy one.
Now, having the sarcastic sense of humor that I have, I would say homelessness is decreasing in Connecticut because people are moving out of Connecticut.
I don't think that the people moving out are the ones who are at risk of homelessness. However, it's a really serious issue.
This is
the seventh freezing for a reason. And, it's dramatic. Different years there have been, 12 inches of snow on the ground, and it's just a great way to bring attention to this issue.
Although this morning it is 20 degrees outside. So
yes.
And also, most forecasters are predicting the winter to start after the first of the year with some very bitter cold outbreaks and, by the way, unfortunately, snow to go with it. So
the YMCA is certainly one to keep in mind.
That's exactly right. Now, this is something that anybody who's lived in this area for a while knows, that coyotes have always been in our area and always a problem, especially if you have small animals, and this story by Christy Bloom, Are Roaming Coyotes the New Black Bears? I would say they've been here. The black bears are the new coyotes, because the coyotes always have been aggressive in this area, and the black bears recently have become much more aggressive.
The coyotes are very aggressive, though, especially if you're a pet owner. They're actually probably more of a problem than black bears.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, when you see that there are 4,000 to 6,000 coyotes that, they're able to account for here in Connecticut, that's a lot.
It's astonishing.
People who live in the further reaches of the rural areas around here hear them at night.
They're outnumbered. There are more coyotes than people.
And the great thing about coyotes, or the interesting thing about coyotes, is that if you've got a small animal, even a mid-sized dog, that's out alone at night, they will coax that dog in like they're going to play with it, like it's another dog, and then they will surround it and attack it. They're very, very, very intelligent animals too, when they're on the attack like that, coyotes. And they've always been a big problem out here. So that's an interesting story by Christy Bloom. I love this story. Editor's notebook, Bernie Drew. I didn't think anybody knew of Plastic Man except for me anymore.
Well, apparently Bernie does. Plastic Man, a lesser-known DC hero, not to be confused with Marvel, this is Batman and Superman, is finally getting the film treatment. And his creator, cartoonist Jack Cole, has a local connection to Falls Village. And there are so few people who have a local connection to Falls Village that certainly we have to celebrate a beloved one.
All right. So
Alexander says, as a resident of Falls Village.
Well, and the paper, as a resident of Falls Village.
We are.
That's right. So how do you like living in Falls Village?
It is the quietest main street in America.
It really is. All right. Legislators see priorities for Connecticut in 2019.
Yeah, this is Patrick Sullivan speaking to our legislators, talking about what they see as their major priorities, obviously, as a headline. He goes to the Northwest Hills Council of Governments, the COG, to hear what they have to say every month, and it's an important time in state government, so do read this story. He talks about the priorities of selectmen, mayors, and, you know, our state legislators as well. So, important time. And before we get off the front page, we should talk about the transfer station vote in Salisbury last night.
I was talking about it earlier this morning, Janet.
Yes.
50-some to 9 in favor of it.
Right.
And Sharon has their vote tonight. It's just interesting that, you know, it's a $500,000 item, and I think what most people have been confused about is that, yes, each town has to come up with $500,000 more, but I know in Sharon, they already have funds, LOSA funds designated to it, so the actual hit on Sharon is somewhere around a couple hundred thousand dollars, and that's going to be done by a low-interest 40-year loan. And it proved that that seemed to be the way in Salisbury when there was mild interest in a town meeting forum, but there was a big enough vote in favor of where I think Salisbury residents are comfortable to move on.
Exactly. And what you say is true in Salisbury as well. You know, these two towns will be looking for ways to fill in this money so that they don't have to use the full amount straight out of their coffers. And, you know, I think everyone has faced this in life, that you start a project or, you know, the beginnings of it, and suddenly realize once you get into it, it's going to cost a lot more than you think, and it takes too long, and this is where we're at. But, yeah, we do need a place to remediate our trash. So, yeah, Sharon, get out there tonight and vote. It's at 7 o'clock at the town hall.
All right. Now, I want to this is on page 2. I first became aware of the Trixie Strauss bird count through Marshall Case and Bob Moeller of the Sharon Audubon, and it was delayed because of the rain. It is now pushed back, and it is going to be held. Okay. I think it's going to be held on the 20th something. I just got a press release from them.
And, you know, they are always needing to be aware of the weather, too. So just keep an eye on them. And there's the information here to reach them. Contact the Audubon Center to be sure, because this time, you know, this is the time of the year they do it. Christmas bird count, obviously, but weather can interfere.
And a lot of people do take part in this Trixie Strauss bird count. It really is pretty amazing.
Oh, it is amazing, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
All right, so let's go to Cornwall, an invitation to go a touring.
This is a book that is recommending that people visit all 169 towns in Connecticut, which would be quite a feat, although maybe not, considering just to get here, I crossed about 3. So I've tracked a few down. But it's interesting
idea. The 169 Club, and that is their thing. So.
But if you want to come freelance for the Lakeville Journal, we will send you to all kinds of towns, and you can check them off. I know. I've been to ones I never thought I would go to.
That's right. And sometimes the same towns again and again.
They're just
as interesting as the first time.
All right. And Sharon, Christ Church has a new priest.
Yeah, this is the Reverend Dr. Martha Tucker, who is settling in at Christ Church Episcopal in Sharon. She began November 18th. And it's a lovely interview with her that Lila Hawken did, and a lovely photo. So get to know one of the new clergy in your town.
You know, I thought I would be done with To Kill a Mockingbird when I was in high school. This book just simply amazes me about the interest in it, how it goes on and on and on and on at a high level.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? And you know, it was named the number one book on PBS's The Great American Read, which got so much participation. It's encouraging to those of us who love books, and there are many more than one might think in this digital age. Well, a lot of people read books online, you know, digitally as well. But, this is the Kent House of Books on Main Street has an event going, Read the Piece, and go talk about To Kill a Mockingbird.
And if you go to all 3 sessions, you are entered to win tickets to Aaron Sorkin's adaptation, which is now on Broadway.
All right.
Yeah, which is great.
All right. And you can learn more about the settlement of the American West at Noble Horizons.
Right. Go ahead, Alex.
January 8th through the 29th.
Right.
I want to move on to you guys has, these are beautiful pictures. The Chorus Angelicus and Christmas Angelicus that performs in four or five different locations throughout our area. I don't think there's any location that is just more beautiful or appropriate for it than the Congregational Church in Salisbury.
Oh, well, these are by Ann Day.
Yeah.
Wait, is Ann here?
I'm here.
Oh, Ann should talk about this one because she is so devoted to this group and just these photos are
beautiful. My daughter was in Chorus Angelicus in the mid-2000s for about 5 years, so I spent an awful lot of time traveling around back and forth. They're a very serious choir. Yeah. They really, I mean, they do three rehearsals a week, and they've traveled all over the world. And I just went to the Congregational Church on Sunday and took some pictures, but I kind of know what I'm looking for, so it's easy for me. I've done it a million times.
Right. With the
anyway, they have two more performances left, and it's in the paper, in the calendar. I don't remember exactly what date or what the addresses are, but check calendar this week in Compass, and you'll see what two performances are left.
All right, and Cornwall has their Christmas pageant on the 22nd, but I want to go on to the next page, and Cynthia's not here to talk about this, so I don't know who's going to talk about it, but cashmere and other luxuries for the holidays.
Oh, it's a shame. This is her baby that she was working on for some time. But it's a real treat to read, so I won't spoil too much. But she talks about all the ways to stay luxurious and warm and the right price points and how to look and shop for cashmere.
Now, an important story that puts a little damper on the Christmas holidays, but it just happened in our tri-state region just last week. I think in Torrington, where a house burnt to the ground because of poor extension cords.
No, if you read any Christmas story this year, please read this one and prevent Christmas tree fires. We talk about keeping your tree watered so it doesn't dry out and become a greater hazard, turning off your lights at night, and of course keeping candles far away from your tree.
You know, what has helped with the lights is the introduction of the LED lights, because they work on such low wattage that they truly are the safest. If you have lights, you should probably consider changing over to the LED lights. A, they cost pennies to the dollar to operate, and they are so much safer because they do not heat up.
True, but yeah. As Cynthia recommends, it's important to continually change your lights each year. You don't need to save the same ones for 15 years.
Yeah, they get frayed.
They are not meant for that.
Yeah. The ACA deadline has been pushed back till January 15th here in Connecticut, Access Health Connecticut. For those of you who know about it, seeing as our federal government has closed down all of us finding out about it. This is a story that we found about last week, but Annie Benanti General Store is closing on December 31st in Kent.
Yeah, this is the end of an era. You know, Annie Benanti has been there and really a destination in Kent over many years. So do read the story, go and visit them before they're shut down for good, and, thank all of them for everything they've done over the years for Kent.
Well, she said, and Annie Benanti, the store has had a continual change over the years from when it first, since 2001 when she first started. So it always makes me feel a little older when a store like this
she first opened Backcountry Outfitters in 94. So really, she's been doing this a long time, one way or another. And that to me is Kent, is that it's always evolving, always changing, very creative, and she just really epitomizes that.
Now, you also have a couple of other stories on this page, more so Monk and also Nest, the workroom for Nest.
Oh, well, Anne did the photo for Nest. Do you want to speak on Nest?
Oh, yes. Lisa Foster and Ellen Hubbard, who have a booth in the Millerton Antique Center, are both interior designers, and they've opened up a workspace back in the space where Frames on Wheels used to be, in the Thornhill Flower Building behind Le Bon's. It's a beautiful space, and they are selling little random kinds of things, but it's a teaser to go and look at their booth in the Millerton Antique Center, but also a workroom where you can go and pick fabrics and discuss your decorating plans with them.
All right. Nice story by Caitlin Lau in Millerton about the Asian kitchen and their chefs.
Yeah. Sharon, the Millerton Fresh Market has opened the Asian Kitchen there. Stop in and see them. Caitlin talked to the chefs there, and it's a great initiative they have going. They're also building a cafe in the front of the store, so it's a work in progress, but go in and see them. And don't miss, we also have a great story on Morsel Monk over in Winstead. Anyone you know who's an outdoor enthusiast would love anything from this store, be sure to go and visit them.
Now, very quickly, Swasa pot pies tonight at the White Hart.
Yeah.
Call ahead because they're probably already sold out, but you never know where you can help Swasa and get a pot pie.
Yeah,
and see
the win-win.
That's right. Now, I want to go on to the opinion pages because the editorial is that you pen for the upcoming year is pretty interesting. Changes and challenges.
Yeah, you know, and we can think that that's how it is every year, and that in New England we can become complacent, though, and think, you know, things really don't change that much here. But this year we've had a lot of change, and in this editorial we're talking about the regional changes, and the next one on January 3rd will be more specific to town. So do read this over and write us letters to let us know what you think are the most important changes. And I say that especially because we had no letters this week. Can you believe it? Thank goodness we have a lot of good columnists, and so we really have thought-provoking columns and a wonderful photo of Michelle Brown, who works for us, who decorated our beautiful little Christmas tree.
All right. Turning back the pages, 25 years ago, for those of you that don't know, Sharon Town Hall, what is now the meeting room, was the most scary place in the world to go to. It really was. It was unbelievably how run down and trodden it was, and we're very proud of our town hall.
It's a beautiful town hall now, and anybody who walks in would never imagine it was just, you know, 25 years ago that all this money was approved, and what a huge change. So, yeah, it is so interesting to see these pieces and remember, wow, that town hall still looks pretty good. I guess that $800,000 was pretty worth it.
It was definitely worth it. All right. And, of course, the viewpoint page continues onto the next page as well with the different stories.
Yeah, we have Dick Ollis on immigration saying our ancestors came here through open borders. And if anyone knows their family history, I think you'll find that's true. Great cartoon from Peter Steiner, as ever. And John Swan on supersonic jets and hydrogen-powered trains. Chris Powell on legalizing and taxing weed. And Mark Godburn on some things improving in the afterlife. And this is the reputation of George H.W. Bush, the way he was treated by the media. He believes he was not treated well by the media in life, but much better in death.
Absolutely. Well, no president is treated well by the media.
That's right.
But then again, it's not the media's...
It's not their job.
...to treat them well. It's to be adversarial. But anyways, on another note, the final two pages, Kent Center students. Also, you've got color pictures from the FFA holiday.
Yeah.
And then on the back page, more of the Housatonic Valley Regional High School songs.
Yeah, Christmas. You really have to read this one page for page right through to the end. Thank goodness you have 2 weeks to do it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you Compass with a Hand.
One good reason that Alexander's here is I call this the Alexander Wilburn issue.
Yes.
He has a double-page interview with Caroline Rome, who has a new book out called Design and Style, and it's kind of a look back at all of her other books and her style, but I'm going to let Alexander talk about it. But before I do, I'd like to say... we have a review of Danielle Mailer's work, which is in New York City. Danielle, as you know, does these big, beautiful animals and murals. She has a huge mural in Torrington. She's got some kind of a cat on the front of the Scoville Library. And she's got a wonderful show in New York that Carl Salater reviewed. We have a review of Man of La Mancha, which is in New Milford. C.B. Wismar gave it a great review. And then my favorite, Marsden, has her Madeleine recipe. And as always, Madeline doesn't, I mean, Marsden doesn't just write recipes. She writes a little bit of familiar family history and humor, and she never just writes a straight recipe, but it's a lovely recipe. And then the rest of the issue I'm going to give over to Alexander.
Alexander, you have a minute and a half.
Oh, good.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Well, I spoke with designer and author Caroline Rome, who is a part-time Sharon resident, about her new book, Design and Style. This is her 13th book over 20 years, and if you've ever seen one of these, they are grand and enormous and beautiful. It is evident there is a lot of work put into it. They have been about flowers, about interior design, about gift wrapping, but this is a real look back at her life and her career. I've had the book on my desk for about 4 weeks now at work, and I'm pretty sure every woman in the office has come to flip through at some point. What makes her clothes really notable is that she wasn't trying to design for a new woman. She really designed for women who already were, and essentially herself, which might sound self-centered, but I think she had this idea of just giving the lived-in experience of being a woman to her clothes, which is not something that a male designer in her position might necessarily consider with the same empathy. So we talk about all of that. And then I went to see two movies that are going to be opening tomorrow at the Movie House in Great Barrington. They are The Favourite and Mary Queen of Scots, two pseudo-historical films. Mary Queen of Scots covers the 16th century rivalry between Mary Stuart, who tried to make a claim for the English throne against her first cousin, Queen Elizabeth. And then The Favourite, which is the third English film by Greek director Yorgos Lanthimos, who directed The Lobster. And it takes a little-known historical figure, Abigail Hill, who was born to low circumstances, worked her way up to become a lady of the court, and was despised by most everyone except for Irish satirist Jonathan Swift. And Mary Queen of Scots is a bit of a slog. It tries to hit a lot of historical points and ends up getting many, many of them wrong. Whereas The Favourite pretty much ignores history, just takes a small piece of something that might have happened and runs with it, and ends up getting the tone really right. It's a kind of ugly, bawdy, very funny film.
Okay. Your time is up.
Oh,
I want to remind people also the real estate section.
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Happy New Year.
Holiday.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio.